But me?
You're just there vibing?
Huh?
You're just there.
I'm just there free. My hands are free.
Yeah.
My stuff is in my car, whatever. My hands are free. So I just came. There's a party going. So I'm just coming, you know? So I'm at the DJ booth. So I just said, he says, oh, what record? I said, put whatever you want, man. That's how I just said it like that. I said, man, you go with it, man. I said, let's have some fun. Just like I said, let's have some fun. I said, put what record you want to put on, man. Let's do it. You know, so people are around watching. I was like, oh boy, I'm back. Like, hey, everybody's watching. I was like, oh my gosh, I got to come on this one. You know, so anyway, I said, put what record you want on. So I know, I can't remember what record he put. I think he put the big beat. He put the big, you know, big beats like ABC to me, like too easy for me. Mm-hmm. So I said, I put the big beat. So he put the beat. I think it was the big beat, and it was he saved the last one. Actually, the last one was the Herbie Hancock Rocket. That's when I kind of made him sit down for make him think. But anyway, so we did the big. We did the big beat and whatever. So I did my tricks on the big beat and, you know, I kept the basic or whatever, you know. Boo, 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 boo. And then, you know, when the boo, patat, you see when the patat comes in? So I would go boom, patat, doom, doom, ta, digga, digga, that. Like off the upbeat. Cha, 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 boom, patat. So all these tricks I'm doing. So he wasn't following along, but, you know, because he would do it and then.
Like the off time but on time type of off, stuff. Yeah, he was.
Like I said, I'm not bragging, bro.
I was on point. Yeah.
I did my homework, man. I was in for a bit doing my homework.
You had your muscle memory down.
Yeah, exactly. So other beats, I just, you know, follow. I would just go with the flow. I could, there's extras to be done. Then he was getting now he's getting like okay, I'm gonna shut this guy down. So he goes, after the second beat now is Rocket now, Herbie Hancock. Oh boy, he shouldn't have done that. So you put it, bam, da, da, bam. So the whole thing for Rocket now is just a bam. So you're putting that up, just putting that part, da, and you're doing your little tricks. But I had to make it different now. So what I did now, bam, da, 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 bam, da, you know, then playing, bam. Keep it basic. So now he's doing what I'm doing now, or whatever. So now another part comes in now. Bam. Then I hold the records now. Bam. 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 So, man, I did that, man. Oh my gosh, man. He shut down. He couldn't do it. He just put his hands up like this. And then, you know, that was it. After that, man, I think he stopped playing. That's when he went to doing parties only. Yeah, that was fun. Rest his soul, man. But we had fun. We were still tight, man. Loved the man, you know. We bump heads or whatever. But hey, we had fun. We talk about it. When he was alive, we talked about it. We laugh or whatever, you know.
Yeah, had a good moment in time.
You know, I never in the funny thing, all the DJs out there, you know, I'm all cool with everybody, man. Even if we go out there and they were to shut me down, because I was a lone ranger. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, lone ranger had his Tonto, but I was always by myself, moving the crib by myself. I carried my big crate of records and stuff like that, you know. But I had my boys, my MCs, you know, like Supreme and Sean Juan and stuff like that, you know. But it was all fun, man. I had fun with everybody. Even they would rap on somebody else's sound system, whatever. Cool, you know, when I'm playing, hey, they come, you know. It was like all free like that. There was no, mm-hmm. I didn't have no ego to it. So maybe a couple did have that ego, but I just blend with them and have fun, man.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, man, I wanted to ask you about the, everybody gets to see a picture from that Spectrum 84. And then, you know, Louise sent me the picture one day and she's like, that's Butcher T in the middle. You remember that? You know what picture I'm talking about?
Oh, that's when I was peeking out there from. I was like at the side of somebody there. Yeah, that was.
They used it on the cover of the hip hop book.
No,
but it was also in the Gazette.
But it was also in the. It was in that came in the Gazette. What was the name of that lady in the fashion? Iona. that's the name of the, yeah, that was the name of the fashion designer woman there, Iona. Yes, that was in the Gazette. You had parts of the classic crew, you know, people in there. You had, oh my gosh, you had DJ Ray in there, Sean Juan was in there. Oh yes, 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 yes. Oh my gosh, what year was that? What year was that now? That year was 1984, the month of February. It was a Tuesday. Oh my gosh. Hold on, let me see. Where am I? Where am I in this picture? Yeah, that picture, yeah. I'm right beside of Ray with my little small afro. Yep, yep, yep. My gosh, man. Anybody sees that, they're going to laugh.
Was this like a planned photo shoot? Or was it just what everybody was rocking that day?
No. That was actually, we got called. Somebody called and they wanted to promote some hip-hop wear. You know, the outfit, the shorts and stuff like that. So we had to put on these shorts, these kind of different color shorts. And I said, okay, no problem. I'm down for doing it. And we all went in and did a photo shoot, you know, individually. And they did one big photo shoot. And I said, I was cool with it. I did my little pose, just sticking my head out there. It was a fun. And that was because of the whole, you know, break dancing situation. You know, so that was a nice way of promoting it and stuff like that.
And how did that transition into the late 80s?
Late 80s now. I was going into the late 80s now, playing. Remember now, I got my... Well, at that time you had Mike Mission now, a different genre now. Mike Mission had their... No, it's not Mike Mission. LDG and Keith and Karen, they had a show on CKUT. On Saturdays from 7 to 9 after West Indian Rhythms, mm-hmm. which I was playing on West Indian Rhythms. That's where I first started on West Indian Rhythms.
Okay.
Yeah, on CKUT. I first started with Stretch and I.
In 87? 86,
87? 86, 87, yeah. Louis says 87.
And you say 86.
I say 86. But I think it was 86 from right to whatever, late 86 or whatever. But yeah, so when I, from CKGM time, I kind of got with Stretch, because Stretch mentioned to me, there's a program, the program availability on CKUT, fill in to take over somebody else's show. So I said, okay, no problem. So me and him started that show, West Indian Rhythms. Now I'm just playing what you call it there now, Caribbean music. Mm-hmm. Remember, music is music to me. It doesn't matter. My techniques is with reggae too.
Yeah.
Remember, it's all music, beats, or whatever the case is. So my techniques was brought into West Indian Rhythms. You know, the mixing, the clean mixes. That's what I was known for, clean mixes and doing my tricks. So at that time, you don't overdo it. Keep it simple, you know?
What years were you doing West Indian Rhythms?
Oh, we started at 86. Or
until?
Until... I was always on there till 91, till I got my own show.
Okay.
Butcher T's Noontime.
So I grew up listening to you every Saturday, man.
Yeah.
Because my dad had West Indian Rhythms on every Saturday.
Every Saturday.
That was before dinner, you know? And
yeah, at that time we started in the afternoon, then we got extended for another hour. Yeah. So, and then meantime playing on West Indian Rhythms, I used to play out a lot too as a West Indian Rhythm crew. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was my reggae and also my folk. You know, I didn't play one type. I get bored. I can't play one type of thing. I get bored. I know, you know, I like to, that's why I'm Butch T's Noontime, because I play a variety.
Yeah, it's everything.
You know, I play everything, you know. But so when I would play on West Indian Rhythm Crew, you know, that playing out, you know, in the members club or members club or parties or whatever, you know, stuff like that. I would play the reggae, a little bit of R&B, slow jams and stuff like that. And then I was off the market. What do I mean off the market?
Off the radar.
I was off the radar. You know, I was off the radar. I started playing at Sir Winston.
Okay.
You know, Mike Williams. I have to mention him again. Mike Williams got me a gig to play at Sir Winston's. And at that time too.
That's on Crescent, right?
Yes, exactly. And at that time, what you call it there was, they had clubs like Twilight Zone clubs, Horoscope, Checkers was a that live bands and also DJs playing there. So I had an option of going to Checkers, you know, to audition for Checkers, you know. Mike Williams was hooking that up for me to play Checkers. But when I got another call, they're looking for somebody at Sir Winston. Says, I don't want it with Checkers. Cause, you know, the kind of ends you're going to be getting, nah. Well, cheap ends, whatever. So yeah. I said, okay, no problem, Mike. So went to Sir Winston. He said, you're going to have to audition. I said, okay, no problem. You're not going to get paid. If you get it, you get paid for this. I said, okay, no, I'm cool. Yeah. Hey, remember I told you this.
Let's go have some fun.
Just have some fun. So anyway, before I auditioned, I went there a couple of days before I just had to play. Because the original DJ that was playing there, he's been playing there for like 1902. You know when I say 1902?
That's your go-to year.
Exactly.
He's since been forever. There.
Yeah. So I went to see how he played. Because I remember, to get the job, I have to play like him and not play like him. I have to play, you know. So listen to the kind of music he's playing. Now, Pro, I have records galore, as you know. And I can see you have records galore. And some records now, what's garbage to us serves a purpose for somebody else or for a situation.
Yeah.
So I had all these rock records, man, and other stuff that I was like, nah, I'm not going to be using this stuff, man. I had them stacked up at home to either just keep them to the side for a good long time or whatever. So anyways, I went to my time to play now. Bought my records, had to pick all these rock records that I wasn't going to be using. Went the first day, first night, boom. It was a dead night, a Wednesday night. That was cool. Oh, it was cool. Or Tuesday night. Wednesday. It was a Wednesday night. Okay. Played. Boom, boom, boom. Make it quick. Pass that test. Mike calls me. Oh, they're going to call you. They're waiting for a call. Oh, Mike. Okay, Tone. Butch, go back to the club. They want you to, for the second, try your second time. Boom. Went to Thursday now. Thursday now is the hype now. Hype night now. Play the Thursday. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, remember, I'm playing a different variety of music now. Yeah. I introduced reggae, certain reggae. Not at that time, certain reggae that you can sing along to.
Yeah, you had to ease it in gently.
Yeah, like, okay, for instance, I'll play Calypso, Hot, Hot, Hot. That's like a cheater.
Yeah, yeah. But
anyways, play songs like that. You play like a bob or whatever. These are cheaters. You know, I like when you play something different and say, people dancing, oh yeah, good. That's when I feel good. Mm-hmm. Anyways, played that. Okay, went home. Got a call in the evening. Hey, Butch, they want you to third night. I think you got it anyways. So I said, okay, no problem. Went the third night, rocked the place, boom. Make a long story short, I got the job. And I had that place rocking with the rock, a little bit of reggae, funk, and you had to get one or two of the hip-hop in there or whatever. Had that place rock. Oh, I would play like The Roof Is On Fire.
Okay.
Hey, so I got to slip in certain things, but like I said, you know, it wasn't no... Hip-hop, whatever. I played. Remember, hip-hop, what people don't understand, hip-hop, when you mention, we're going to get into that, we're going to say it, hip-hop is not just you looking at a certain beat, a funky beat. It's all kinds of beats. It's a wide. You have Latino break beats, you have a rock break beat, you have a reggae break beat, and stuff. Like, if you listen to a Biggie, I can't remember a song by Biggie, if you really listen to, he has a song there. It's a sample by General Echo, Arlene. Arlene must he dream what he dream. If you listen to it, it'll come to which one it is or whatever. But it's a sample of that, actually.
I'm trying to think right now.
Yeah. It passed a lot of people.
How's the beat go?
Huh?
You're saying, but not the beat got sampled, not the vocal.
Not the vocal, the beat. When you hear the beat or whatever, you hear the beat. Because it's like it's not the snare drum. It's like the edge of the snare drum, like a regular, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like a syncopated beat. I'll tell you which one. It'll click in my head. But anyway, so I got away with playing my stuff, and had the place rocking. So I was off the streets. I wasn't playing on the streets for a year and something, you know. But I still was doing West Indian rhythms, you know.
Yeah.
So back to on the station there, you know. And then eventually, I got my own program. I did it. I played a lot of different clubs, man. Like, you know, different lot of alcove clubs on in university that was just playing funk music, disco, you know. That was like in still in the '80s and stuff like that. I never got to play at places like those big clubs on St. Catherine between Stanley and Peel, like the Rendezvous. I used to go to those clubs when I was young, you know. Mm. I was influenced by other DJs too at that time, like Tony DeCipres, Greek DJ. But man, it's like he has a black soul, man. Like this guy, he played disco, funk. He was like up to date house music, man. He Robert Wilmette, you know. I was influenced by a lot of these guys, you know, and also West Indian DJs older than me that played or whatever, you know. So I was open to a lot of things, man. Mm-hmm. You know, going back and coming forward, you know. So doing my own program. Got my own program in 1991, 92.
Yeah.
Butch T Noontime Cuts, you know.
Still going.
Yeah, still going.
30 years strong.
Yeah. And then hold on, just a little bit back for on Western Rhythms, after us was Sound Supreme Show.
Yeah.
With LDG.
And Flight.
Flight, Keith and Karen, because they were orchestrating it too. They put it all together. That show was rocking. Actually, you know what? I was supposed to get that show. but I was supposed to get that show. No lie. But I was like, nah, I didn't want it at that time. I was like, oh, that was like a weight. What I mean, like a weight? Don't get me the wrong way. A weight. That was like all hip hop. Because I was into all different. I would have changed the whole.
But they wanted to have an all hip hop show?
Yeah, that was the idea? Yeah, that was an all hip hop show.
Who came with that idea?
Huh?
Who came with that idea?
Actually, at that time, I can't. At that time, wasn't Louise, since somebody else was involved.
Yeah, because it was before Louise's time.
Yeah, I think it was before. Louise is there. Yeah, it was before that or whatever, you know? But I can't remember. They wanted an all hip hop show. And I was kind of. Is the word shy? I just didn't want to go into that big forum. Okay. So I just kept myself in that little form that I'm comfortable in.
You felt unwanted pressure maybe to do a show like
exactly,
that?
Exactly, yeah.
Where you'd feel like, okay, the lines are being drawn for me.
Yeah.
And you were kind of the guy that you just want to play whatever you're feeling in that moment and not have these lines drawn because, for you.
I was in my hip-hop.
Oh, I know you're in your hip hop because one time I was playing Concrete Mob and you were like, "What is this again?" You know? That's like a deep hip hop cut. So like, I get it. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I know my music, man. You know, I don't say I know my music better than other people, but I have a passion for music, you know, and I like my variety.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I'm a kind of guy like. If I'm going to be in a limelight to play something, I was like, nah, let me just stay by the little corner that I'm comfortable. I like a comfy couch. Mm-hmm. I'm comfy in this couch. Because once I go in that other big couch, it's like, oh, man, you have, okay, responsibility. It's a bigger responsibility, you know? But, hey, Sound Supreme Show, they rock, man. And, hey, I used to listen to them all the time. Everything they would have, I would have. But it was like, wow, let me stay back and I can groove, you know?
Yeah. And that laid the foundation for a lot of other people in the city. Yeah. So,
you know,
everything has its place. And yeah.
I said CKUT, you know, we're on CKUT right now. We're talking. And the funny thing about CKUT, CKUT has so much different a genre of music.
Yeah.
You know, and programming. And even on, they used to have on your slot from Wednesdays, right? 3 to 5. You used to have another program on Tuesdays, I think it was. Was it Tuesday? I think it was also on a Wednesday from 3 to 5. It was called Genius and the Prophet with Jeremy Harding.
I think you told me that was like another. You said that was Tuesday, so.
Yeah, it was Tuesday.
But I know before All the Way Live, it was Lion's Den.
Lion's Den, yes. Lion's Den.
And
so it must have been on a Tuesday from 3 to 5.
You said that you brought this up when I saw you last time. There was another show.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you brought it up, and then Louise said it was on Tuesdays.
Tuesday, yes.
Yeah, so.
That was called the Genius and the Prophet, man. Mm-hmm. Those guys, man. They're in a whole different world, man. One week you get hip-hop, a different style of hip-hop. I mean, hip-hop that you know, but a different style of other stuff that you wouldn't hear, underground. Then the following week, strictly reggae. Oh, man.
You say the genius.
The genius. Jeremy Harding, people know him as bringing out Sean Paul, Simps, you know, and Beanie Man. Well, the rhythm there, Simpson.
Yeah, Beanie Man, Who Am I? He produced that track.
Yeah.
And that was after he had to leave Montreal to go back to Jamaica.
Yeah, now he's a big time producer.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so that's my path, and just loving every moment of it puts me where I am today.
Yeah,
enjoying life.
And why was it that is it just basically like because you like all kinds of music that you never focused solely on hip hop, or was there something about hip hop that was like, oh, I don't want to just be in that, or just be
no,
like
it's like. It's like, you know, I served a purpose for that moment, just to introduce something. It's like a Cool Herc. Cool Herc, he introduced hip-hop to New York, and his passion is repairing boats. He repairs boats,
yeah.
If I'm right. I think he's still doing that well from that time, whenever, you know. I love my hip-hop, a different variety of hip-hop. It's a new genre of style now, you know what I mean? Knowing that from where the seed of hip-hop started, I was there to seed, you know what I mean? And seeing how it evolved. But I love it. I appreciate it. But and like, I don't like to stick to one thing. I just like to play that play that different style. See, like, you listen to my program, man. Sometimes, like, I'm a baker, you know? You're just putting different, let me just try this other ingredient. Mm-hmm. You know, on my program, sometimes I'll play like a compa, a salsa. Hey, it's Butcher T's Noontime Cuts. You never know what you're going to get.
And what's your favorite, like, because you've seen it from the start, like, do you have a favorite era of hip-hop or a favorite time, whether it was the experience that went along with the music? Because I feel like you're probably going to say the early 80s and you know, in terms of an experience, but what about the style of music? Like, what hip-hop do you find yourself listening to more than any other?
Today,
or even in certain times, like what you could answer that question any angle that you want. I just want to, you know.
Wow, man, Pro, why you hit me like that, man? I listen. Wow, man, that's a good one. I love my West Coast, man. I was looking at your collection, and like, yeah, DJ Quick, you know, he's underrated. He reminds me of myself, man. Because he has a signature style. I can listen to his stuff anytime. Because when you listen to his stuff, I actually, you know the computers that you see on NCIS there, when they're the computer and they're drawing, or the sci-fi movies, and when the computer screen they're moving objects in the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I listen to a DJ Quick, you know, his style, I can just like, I feel like I can just
pinpoint all the little elements of his music.
Yeah, it's like a Parliament Funkadelic. You'll see that I'm always mentioning Parliament Funkadelic and stuff, because when you listen to their music, it's like you're pulling out different styles, different cultures of music.
And Quick, man, it goes deep. You could hear his appreciation for a lot of music in what he does.
That's what I mean.
You know, even when it comes to replaying stuff, he might be like, oh, that's that groove, but they replayed it and he freaked it that way.
Exactly. So I can go back into my 80s, my 90s, and even till now. What, like, I like songs that get into me, the heavy bass. And I like, it hypnotizes me like a guru, Gangstar.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a Gangstar's music, can put you kind of like in a madhouse. What I mean? Because if you notice Premier, how his shit is always like, it's like a gerbil in his cage there. Mm-hmm. And he has that rhythm. There's something in the back going, and the beat's still going. It's like it's drawing you in.
Mm-hmm. The way he constructs his loops.
His loops, yeah. It's like, and for instance, there's one track that I played in my program. We're in 2022 or 21 and whatever, 20. You have one with Travis Scott, In the Room. I played that song on my program, man. That song, I listened to it. I don't smoke weed, man. If people think I smoke weed or take this and that. I'm like natural high music. That's my high, man.
Yeah.
You know? But when I listen to a song like Travis Scott there in the room, it has that beat, man. It's like, it hypnotizes me. I could be in my vehicle booming my sound system like, man, I'm hypnotized. So I can listen to all the music from the 80s. We're talking about hip-hop now, right?
Yeah.
80s hip-hop, 90s, the 2000s. You have songs that I still vibe to, I can listen to. Take the years out of it, just listening to it. I wouldn't even know what year it is. It's like, wow. It's like a Tupac, Machiavelli one there. Hail Mary, gothic. You know, it's like gothic kind of sound with the bell. Boom. Off lick of the bell, you know, the church bell. You know, it's like trap music. You know, and certain different tracks. It's like you listen to the music, gothic. So I appreciate all music. 80s, 90s, I mean, I can gravitate to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard for me to say what year. Take the year out of it. Hey, I'm rocking to it. If I can't dance to it or move to it, I can bop to it in my vehicle.
What's one of the first albums that you were, from beginning to end, that you were like just killing, like over and over and over
that again? I can repeatedly play?
Yeah, in hip hop.
In hip hop.
Because you know, you started in a time where albums were not coming out, probably by the mid, you know,
mm-hmm.
mid-80s is when albums started, you know, coming out in full. Hip-hop. Not just like 12
on
inches here.
Right?
Yeah.
An album or a song?
Album.
Album.
That you were just like from beginning to end. Like this is another level right now.
Okay. Gotcha. Wow. Man, Pro, man. Why are you doing this to me, man?
Somebody's got to do it.
Wow. Hold on. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to tell you one album. You know what? Remember when I just came in, I mentioned it, The Lynch Mob, that album there, Gorillaz in the Mist, because it has one specific song, but that whole album is like, boom.
That's like early 90s, though, right?
Early
like,
90s, yeah. Ah, in the 80s now. Hold on. Wow, man. Wow. You got me there. I'm frozen right now. Wow. Okay, DJ, there's DJ Quick. He's still in there, what you call it there. His stuff I can always listen to right through. You know, I have certain favorites. But the 80s now. Boy, I'm frozen on that one there, man.
Because I guess at the time, you had Run DMC, you had Rakim, Boogie Down Productions.
But what? Well, no. You know what? Stop right there.
Yeah.
Boogie Down. Yeah. KRS-One. Okay, you just jerked something right there. KRS-One. Because lyrically, wow, lyrics always flow. And matter of fact, you know, I didn't mention, I have to give thanks to the universe, man. Met up with him in Montreal here when Mike Williams interviewed him that time when Mike Williams was on Much Music in Montreal, and that time they had Music Plus. So KRS-One was here in Montreal going to be doing a show at James Lane High School.
Okay.
And Mike Williams interviewed him at Music Plus because they had the studio there and everything. Okay. And that was a lot. I don't know if Mike Williams ever got the master for that interview, but you know what I'm gonna ask
was
Mike.
Was it like a live on air? Or
interviewed him at Music Plus in Montreal. That time was on St. Catherine and Blurry.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do this for you.
On TV?
It was on TV. It was broadcast. Okay. Yeah, it was broadcast for Much Music. It was hip hop in the city there because Mike Williams used to do everything for the hip hop and everything. Mm-hmm. And I had the pleasure of him driving. That time I had my Suzuki Samurai, man. Had him in the vehicle there and we chat. We spoke about when he first started and how he was living and with with
Scott LaRock.
Scott LaRock and everything, man. And that was very interesting, man. And his interview he did with Mike Williams was like over almost 2 hours, man.
Okay.
Yeah. But KRS-One, yeah, he's one of the 80s guys that I would listen to his stuff. Lyrically, his stuff was like, wow. But there was another artist, too. Other than that, not Run DMC. It wasn't Run DMC. But at that time, there's Eric B. Because their album, there when they first had their album, that was like on point.
Paid in Full.
Paid in Full, Eric, yeah.
Eric B. and Rakim.
Yeah. Yeah. And those days, there was a lot of music out there. Not a lot compared to now, but yeah, them days, you know, you can rock to an album.
Yeah, when it dropped, it started dropping heavy. Like I said, from 85 to 90, it was like, you know, it was... So that's why I want to hear about that time that, you know, you're just like, wow, this thing that I've been passionate about for the past 10 years is actually, you know, coming into play now. This is a business. This is a whole genre of music.
Yeah, because you're going back. I remember you said for you, you're born 84. You're going back now. You have to go to the seed now, eh? Mm-hmm. So you're going backwards before you can come
something
forward.
I didn't experience and trying to just understand how it was in the city, you know?
You're still doing your homework.
Yeah, man.
We're all doing our homework.
Never stops.
Whatever I tell people, whatever old school to us, what we listen to is new school to us because we never heard it before.
Yeah, anything new is new.
Yeah.
Anything you haven't heard is new.
Yeah, exactly, man. And there's so much. That's what we're always. Because you're a guy, if they had a record store, man, right now, well, no, they still have record stores. You're always searching to say, oh, shoot. You know, it's a pat. That's a good thing about it. The passion is still there. When you're able to go, the passion comes back. The passion
always,
comes back.
Always.
As soon as you go
it
into the store.
It kind of feeds itself in a way.
Huh?
It feeds itself in a way. Yeah. You know, like it's you know, because even it's a double thing. You know, it's hearing new music, and then hip hop is just there's so many layers because you're talking about samples and then going to find out where stuff is from, and then that old track is even better than that hip hop track.
Yeah,
and it really, you know, it never ends, and so that's why, you know, that's why we're having conversations like this right now.
No, that's the thing. It never ends. It's always something else can be pulled. It's like weed, man. Weed just grows wild, man. You pull out one thing that you pulled it out. Shoot, it still pops up back. It grows back up. Because it's just showing you, hey, no, you can't get rid of me. Hey.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
Yeah. And you talk about KRS, meeting him. Is there anybody else you remember meeting in you know, just throughout those times?
In my good times, like I said, KRS-One, the main ones, KRS-One, DST, just for a moment, it was at the Bronx River there. It was a hip hop. It was a hip hop block party. It was a big block party by the river there in the Bronx. And I met African Bambaataa for a short moment to say, "Hey, what's up?" You know, from Canada, and they say, "Oh, I have family in Canada." You know, in Montreal, I think in Toronto. And that was a short moment there, and I also met Kool Herc. That was a short moment too, because everybody was, cause the Blanco was going, they had the stage outside, and they had, everybody would congregate inside the school, you know?
Yeah.
So just for a short moment, I met DJ Kool Herc, you know? That time he was like, why they call him Kool Herc? At that time he was like a Hercules, like muscled up.
Yeah.
Yeah, muscled up. So, you know, quick moment, you know, met him. And that was my, what you call it there. Like I said, I was a low key kind of guy. I'm just doing my thing.
Yeah.
But when I meet somebody, it was like, wow.
Yeah. It's all about just having a good experience with the whole thing.
Yeah, so I can say I met, you know, Run DMC, they came to town. They came to town a couple of years ago. That was in, I can't remember what year exactly. That was at the old 1234 on Mountain Street. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to meet them, but they came into town. They performed. Actually, that time DJ Ray performed with some other artists, local artists. Yeah, at that time, that was in I don't remember exactly. That had to be in the 90s. Yeah, in the 90s. Yeah, and other night, those are my main artists, and I can say those were like part of the that was part of the seed the seed of hip hop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Crazy. Crazy to hear about all this stuff.
Yeah. You know, everybody has little stories, you know. And there's stories involving other artists that they met, you know. And I can say, you know, I give thanks, man. At least I can say I contributed to hip hop.
Definitely did, man. You know, definitely did.
And I still do what I got to do on my radio show, you know, playing a variety. Because music is music, you know, and hip hop, you have to realize hip hop is all kinds of genre music. A lot of young generation artists don't realize that. You know, the ones that don't, I mean, you know, it's only certain ones that can dig deep into it, you know what I mean? But hip hop is all genre music, man. Of all different parts of the world. But like, we're going to go into DJ Quick. When you listen to his stuff, you know, these guys go to Morocco, here, there, and pick up certain styles of, you know, of culture of music and embed it into their production.
Mm-hmm.
But for a good ear, I don't say as a musician, but for a person who has a good ear, you can lock and listen and say, wow. You know, there's certain producers that you listen to that you can appreciate their style.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their style always stands out even up to today. We're talking about old school. Like, his Premier, a DJ Quick, underrated, you know. Then you pick guys like a Dre. You know, you pick like a Dre now. He's on a different level. But then you have a Quick, kind of like a young, because Quick is a little bit younger than Dre, correct?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I believe so. But
you listen to a Quick now.
But it's similar stuff. They exchanged a lot of ideas in the studio. Yeah, and they bounced off each other.
They bounced off each other. But you can pick who's more evolved into different style of music. Mm-hmm. I can say, you know, I listen to Quick and like, he's like, you can tell he has more knowledge, but a wide spectrum of different style of music than a Dre.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dre has it, but like I said, you listen to a Quick, it's like, wow, there's a little extra mm-hmm. dabblings in, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, you know, hip hop.
I think was the first, you watched an interview with him, he's the first to buy an MPC 3000 in California mm-hmm. or something when it came out. Like, he's a real trendsetter, you know?
And he's very passionate, man. I remember one time he was like behind the door, like he was like locked away. Well, we're not talking about incarcerated. I mean, kept back like this, and he was upset at hip hop at one point, you know.
Mm.
And now, you know, he's out there again or whatever. But like, wow. Well, you know, hey.
Did you ever get upset with hip hop or fed up?
No, man. I just, because music. So remember what I might not think is good sometimes is good to somebody else.
Yeah.
But it's always good to listen and say, okay, let me listen to this not good. Okay. All right. I have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm about to say, it's different ears. Different ears out there. Different, you know, different way how you're listening to music. You have to appreciate different somebody else's craft.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, anybody could tell just by listening to this that you know records, you understand music, you get it. We didn't talk about too much like what you played as a child and, you know, mm-hmm. getting into instruments,
mm-hmm.
but I want you to talk about what you played as a child. And also I wanted to touch on how come you didn't follow the production lane. Like, let's say you were making pause tapes for a lot of for a lot of producers. Okay, I was DJing, I made pause tapes, and then I got into getting gear to make music and whatever. So what had you just stay in the DJ lane and not get into the production? And I also didn't want to forget about asking you what you played coming up as a youngster, you know?
Okay. Oh, I used to play drums, percussion in high school. Orchestra music, I used to play
in Jamaica?
No. I used to go to school, Montreal West High.
Okay.
And I used to play music.
Montreal West High. We went to the same high school.
Huh?
I think I went to the same high school.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. Afterwards, they call it Royal West.
Royal West, exactly.
Yeah, so we went to the same
high
school.
Oh, shoot. Right by the tracks.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so when I was in school, I had my music teacher, Maxidon. It was Maxidon. And I played drums, percussion, timbales, the chimes, Xylophone.
Yeah, they had a whole music program.
Exactly. So the, at that young age in school, I used to do go on band trips to the States, you know, Indiana, Elkhart, Indiana, Michigan, you know. So
That's cool, man. Yeah. I didn't know that, because they were doing that when I was there. I wasn't in their music program. Mm-hmm. I was doing my own thing. But they kept that tradition alive, so that's cool. Yeah. They always had an honor band and everything.
I was in the honor band, actually.
Yeah, so that's cool. Because
I was
cool.
From regular band, you know, class, you know, you try for the honor band, I try for the honor band. When you get in the honor band now, your lunch, you eat your lunch 50 minutes, and boom, you have practice or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so I was in the honor band, and I was able to go on trips, you know, going all over the, you know, certain parts of the States, you know. And from there, you know... my hobby again, you know, I was buying 45s records and stuff like that, you know, and that's, you know, so I used to, even when I was playing the band, I mean, playing the orchestra band in school, I was also playing music outside in a band.
Oh.
In a band with a friend of mine, Italian, you know, Dominic Patulli, you know, he used to play the accordion.
Okay.
You know, and I used to play the drums, so I, you know, we got together and whatever, and he played the accordion, and I played drums. Hey, you know, I used to bring my drum set over by him, and play Italian music, waltz, cha-cha, and all these stuff. I used to do a lot of baptisms and weddings and stuff like that, and he used to play the music. So I tell you, I'm a music I'm a musical fruitcake, man.
Yeah, for sure.
So, go ahead. So, no, no. So, you know, from there, we're going back now. So from there, playing from the band in school, playing Italian music. And so I was exposed to a lot of music, you know, like I said, from when I was in Jamaica there too, at the bar. And then meantime, I was still buying records, my hobby, just buying records. And I told you how that transition came up, you know, practicing my craft for breaks and hip hop style. And and then next question you were asking about,
so the production part. How come that transition didn't continue into a production transition?
I don't know, man. I didn't want to get too. I had the knack for it. I ain't gonna lie to you. I had the knack for it.
Because you talk like a producer, like you.
Yeah, I had the knack.
DJs, producers is kind of very similar to, you know, similar vein. So
I had the knack for it. I had a chance to go to Tribas Institute. You know, my grandmother was gonna pay for it and everything. I said, no, it's okay, Grandma. You know, I was so into my playing. I wasn't really hungry for that, you know. I didn't have that drive, that drive to, you know, I was too laid back, you know. I was still making my money playing out here and there, a little bit of making. You know, I always made money playing my music or whatever, you know, at that time, you know. I was playing the Italian band, making my money. And then when I got into playing for parties, you know, some of them were free to get myself known, but I was getting paid. You know, so I was enjoying that. And like I said, back again to the production thing, I had the knack for it, but I didn't have the drive to push myself and say, oh, yeah, I should go further, you know? I've been around in studios. I was in studios all the time. Even when in Montreal here, I used to meet famous art, like musicians like Bernie Worrell from Parliament, Funkadelic. Mm-hmm. Met him in the studio. A lot of big artists, musicians used to come into Montreal and do studio work here in Montreal. And this is like back in the 80s, early 80s. So I had an opportunity to meet him, but, you know, and I used to see how they perform in the studio. I used to see the mixing board. Wow. It intrigued me, but I never had the drive to say, oh, let me go more deep into it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I can say. I didn't have that drive, and that I was too much into the playing the music.
Yeah, you didn't force it. You were right there, hands on, right, you know.
Yeah.
You were right there, but it just wasn't.
At one point, I wanted to be a drummer for a big popular group and playing on stage and stuff like that, but be behind there when playing this and that. Then I used to see how good musicians survive and how they live. Not all of them live like that, but I used to see how the experience seem talented. I seem talented artists, I mean musicians and stuff like that, and see where they come from, and some of them talented and they're still where they are, and suffering and this. I said, nah. That's probably what kind of turned me off.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it is what it is. I'm just living life and enjoying my moment.
Yeah, you created your lane. You did what made you happy.
That's it.
You know, and you're still doing that. So. Yeah.
And I do. I give my good musical vibes to everybody on a Friday afternoon right here on CKUT. That's my passion. You know, as you know, on CKUT here, it's volunteer work.
Yeah.
So I just say, we don't get paid, but we get to expose what our vibe is out there. I mean, to expose our vibe. And remember, what kind of vibe we have, there's other people have the same vibe as us. I don't get a chance to hear certain stuff that we would play. It's probably the stuff that I would play on my program. Some other programmer wouldn't be playing that. But somebody was like, a listener was like, wow, man, you trigger something in me when you play that jam. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you get that vibe sometimes. I listen to you.
And it's nice to get that feedback too.
Yeah, I listen to your program sometimes. It's like, wow, man. It's like, yeah, I can rock to this. That's why sometimes I would say, what jam did you play there? What's
if I get a text from you during the show, it's a nice surprise, man. Oh, Butcher T's trying to find out what I'm playing right now.
When you're at the station, because during the pandemic, we were doing it remotely.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
when you were at the station, I would call and say, man, this and that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I have your personal number now so I can just call and say, hey. But that's the fun, man. Oh. And it's still fun all the way before the pandemic and even till now. Hey, I mean, I enjoy the moment. Don't make nothing stop us, you know? Keep on going, man.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, man. Is there anything that I didn't think to ask you that maybe is coming to... Maybe something you want to share, anything that's, you know?
No, you got everything, so practically, man, because you've been... We were supposed to hook up from I can't say 1902, from the 2000 or even what, you know?
Yeah, a couple of years back.
Yeah, a couple of years back, you know? But no, but, you know, you asked everything, because the main is like how I, you know, how I got my name and, you know, how I got my craft and everything. So, no, you got,
you got all the main stuff in, man. I just want to understand how, you know, all the energy that hit you mm-hmm. that you brought back here, that then, you know, just multiplied, you know, amongst, you know, your peers and amongst the people who didn't know you were just fans of the music, and, you know, even, and, you know, to learn stuff like I didn't know you were on West Indian Rhythms when I was like, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old growing up. So that was great to hear today too. You know what I mean? It's little things like that. You know.
I appreciate and I thank you for, you know, having me on your show there. You know, to saying where I'm coming from, you know, in the music, you know, I appreciate that. And also to all my friends, you know, family and friends, you know, people, my good people around me that put me where I am today. I have to give thanks to them. And that's why I like to make sure they're recognized, like, you know, Supreme, Sean Juan, Justice, you know, Captain Crunch, you know, DJ Captain Crunch, DJ Ray, Jack Cutter, you know, DJ Patrick, you know, he was known as DJ Outlaw, you know, from Spec 2, Everything Green, LDG, The Tough. There's so many names to mention, you know, that, you know, a lot of people have to understand, you know, music lovers of hip hop or all genres of music, you know, you have to give the props to, you know, all these, our own right here in Montreal, because it's like they're carrying the baton,
carrying the baton, carrying a torch and, you know, passing it on. And
some people don't like to let go and feel like, you know, hey, sometimes it's not about, you don't want to hold on to it. I mean, you can always still pass it on, and your print is on there.
Yeah,
you know. But I give, you know, I let people, at least let people know to recognize, these are people to recognize that, hey, that put Montreal on the map. Because even as hip hop here in Montreal in the 80s, Montreal was carrying the swing. And what I mean, I shouldn't say carrying the swing, as in when it came to hip hop, Montreal was the hip hop of Canada,
mm-hmm.
you know, not, I don't want to knock Toronto. Toronto came after, you know, okay. Even party wise, if you want to say party wise, Montreal was a party scene back in the days,
mm-hmm.
you know, but now Toronto, they're carrying that throne. They have their dregs. They have all their local artists you know. But Montreal has to be recognized. They have a lot of good artists underground or there, but never did get that break, you know, to evolve. So we have to really recognize that what we have here in Montreal and give props to yesterday and today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's important. It's important.
You know, we could have, it's a shame to say we could have been a Toronto.
Yeah, but you know, city divided is tough to.
Exactly. You know, I was about to say, yeah, city divided, you know, because trust me, man, we went a lot of artists from back in the 80s, like I was telling you, like Classic Crew, Blondie B, they were ahead of their time. If you hear some of their stuff, it's like, wow. Actually, like Classic Crew, the two girls, Baby Blue, Wavy Wand, when you hear these, they were like a Salt and Pepper, even before Salt and Pepper, they were like on point. Mm-hmm. Blondie B, multiple languages. Like I said, 3-4 languages. Up to now, man, I keep in touch with her, you know. Matter of fact, I'll give you her number so you can have an interview with her. She's like, you know, she's fun. Different languages of hip hop, man. And you don't get that much in hip hop. I mean, you know, in the Latin hip hop, yeah. She'll even rap in Latin, Spanish, French, German. Oh, she English. Hey, she was good, man. But you know, Montreal has her own, and we still gotta recognize. You know, that's why I always mention their names to let people know. Hey, that's the foundation here, Montreal of hip hop.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, man. I appreciate all this, man. Appreciate all this so much.
I appreciate it too, man. Yeah. You having me here to tell my story.
Yeah, man. Definitely.
Finally, say it.
We did it, man. We did it. So yeah, man. Anything else, or you want to add, or
we're good? No, we're good, man. Cool, you got cool. We got everything in.
Yeah, man.
You got everything in, man. Shoot, trust me.
I appreciate it, man. Appreciate you, brother. Butcher T.
All right.
Every Friday at noon, on here on CKUT.ca 90.3 FM, Butcher T's Noontime Cuts. God. He's still doing events. So if you got to hit him up.
Hit me up. You can check me out on, let's see. Check me out on CKUT 90.3 FM. Or if you have, or any artist out there has some tracks you want to send to me, send it to Butcher T's. No, ButcherT2003@Hotmail. That's ButcherT2003@Hotmail. All right? And always send me a clean track, edited. We like to keep it clean in the afternoon.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah. All right, bro. Yeah, again, I thank you.
Thank you, man.
Universal
thank you so
blessings
much.
To you.
Respect, man. Respect.
Big L, rest in peace. Rest in peace.
Fresh out the gate again, time to raise the stakes again. Fat my plate again. Y'all cats know we always play to win. GNG to the stars, son. Haters took the shit too far, son. So that's all for you. I'm wiping out your whole team. Ow, splatter your dreams with lyrics to shatter your schemes. The badder you seem, the more lies you.
Politica is thrilled to announce the theatrical release of Dear Jackie, a feature documentary by Henri Pardo. The film opens on June 17 in 4 theaters in Montreal: Cinéma Public, Cinéma du Musée, Cinémathèque Québécoise, and Cinéma Moderne, with the director and special guest in attendance at select screenings. Dear Jackie poetically tells the story of one of the oldest black communities in Canada, Montreal's Little Burgundy, by way of a cinematic letter to Jackie Robinson, the first black man to break the color barrier in professional baseball. It also masterfully connects history to the present by challenging the myth of a post-racial society. This release is co-presented by Desta Black Youth Network, Tyndale St. George's Community Center, Canteen Bergs, and Makisia Solo. For more information and tickets, visit cinemapolitica.org. We hope to see you there. This is a CKUT co-presentation.
CKUT 90.3 FM, Montreal.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
There is this thing. Do you realize what is? There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing on. There is this thing going on. Do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called
the news? I'm brought to you live.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Off the Hour, right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. We are one day into the month of June. We are broadcasting from unceded Mohawk and Anishinaabe territory. You are tuned into The Avalanche, a special presentation of CKUT's spoken word department. The Avalanche seeks to cover issues affecting those with disabilities. I'm your host, Zoe. On today's show, an episode of the Financial Confessions podcast with disability activist Imani Barbarin. All that on CKUT 90.3 FM. You are listening to The Avalanche, where all abilities are welcome. If you would like to get involved, you can call 514-448-4041, extension 2593, or email spokenword@ckut.ca. You can also follow us on Twitter, @avalanchekut.